and I could do basically anything I wanted to. I could bust the company, or I could work really hard and understand and learn along the way. And that's what I decided to do. And that gave me the tools to actually go ahead and start the first thing.
Hi, and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. On the show, you get my conversations with peak-performing thought leaders, creatives, and entrepreneurs. Every week, I bring you the latest scoop on what these incredible people do to succeed and how you can get their secrets and do it too. Whether we're talking about best practices for spending time creating, how to work the business part of your business, or how to keep in that innovative mindset so you can keep living and performing, you'll get practical and wise information to use in your work and in your life. And now, let's get on with the show. Hey there, and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. My name is Isolde Trachtenberg, and I am thrilled that you're here. I'm also thrilled to have today's guest. First of all, I love the food that his restaurant prepares. Let's get that out of the way. But let me tell you a little bit about Guy Vachnin. He's a renowned chef famous for his innovative plant-based creations. He was raised in a big family in Israel, and food was always the focus of their gatherings. He spent a significant amount of time in his grandmother's Moroccan kitchen making food using the freshest vegetables, herbs, and spices. Oh, delightful. After finishing his military duties in the Israeli Defense Force, he moved to the USA. And he started school as a computer engineer, but then quickly realized it wasn't right for him. So instead, he enrolled in the Institute of Culinary Education. And after that, he became the executive chef at Esprit Events, an established kosher catering company in Manhattan. So in that role, he met his future wife and co-founder, Tali. Together, they developed their signature vegan sushi, and the Beyond Sushi brand was born. Check this out now. In 2012, Chef Guy was a contestant on Fox's Hell's Kitchen, and in 2018, he appeared on ABC's Shark Tank Season 10, and he won a deal with investors Lori Grenier and Matt Higgins, and we're going to talk a little bit more about how that all played out, too. Chef Guy's vision of creating polychromatic plant-based sushi has evolved into a sustainable brand that offers an extensive and, might I say, delicious menu with global flavors. Welcome, Guy. I'm so glad that you're here.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm really well, and I'm so excited that you're here. I, first of all, full disclosure, come to Beyond Sushi for all of my little celebrations. Oh, it's my birthday. We're going to Beyond Sushi. It's my anniversary. We're going to Beyond Sushi. Yeah, I'm probably good. Yes, well, the
especially at this time.
Absolutely. I know. Right now, it's a challenging time for anybody who is in any kind of a service industry, especially restaurants. Yeah. The sunny side, that's my favorite. And so please never remove that from the menu. You removed the cinnamon roll and
I did.
I know. It was tragic.
I needed a gluten-free option.
And I love the gluten-free option, but the cinnamon roll with the coconut ice cream. See, you can tell I'm a huge fan.
No, I get that.
I'm so glad that you have done this. And there are several Beyond Sushi stores, restaurants in New York City. Can you talk a little bit about what inspired you to start Beyond Sushi? How did that come about?
I have kind of a Cinderella story that started back in the catering company. We saw the excitement that we got in our catering events where we were doing vegetarian sushi on our sushi station. I had nothing to do with this world, with veganism or being vegetarian. I was actually very ignorant about it. And I saw the reaction that people had when we were putting out black rice sushi with what random vegetables that we had in our fridge. And the idea came to mind, and we decided to develop it. I was the chef at my dad's place. I was very young, and I never had any chef over me to tell me that certain things are okay or not okay. So I had the freedom to create anything that came up to my mind. And that was like my crazy moment where I just put everything that I could think of, or all the flavors that I had memories of, put them together and create this concept. We created the concept and we tested it out in Vegetarian Food Festival in 2010, mm-hmm. the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And we sold out in like, in like an hour. And then wow. the next year, we tripled the amount that we brought and we sold out again. So we figured, okay, we're on to something and we should move ahead with it. And then Beyond Sushi came to be. It took a while. We created the menu. I was working full time, so it was kind of hard to do it at the same time. And then I peeled off the company and decided to do my own venture. Also because I couldn't get along with my dad, who's the owner of the catering company.
Mm.
That was a nice drive to do that. But that's the story.
You know, it's amazing how sometimes it's necessity that's the mother of invention, and sometimes it's just invention that's the mother of invention. It sounds like it is a Cinderella story, and yet at the same time, you were using the tools that you had at your command, in your hands. When you talk about, and it was born, and then we did this, you were also working full time. So
yeah.
What inspired you? What was the motivation to go, I'm going to work even harder and start my own place? Because I'm sure that working for yourself takes even more time and even more energy than working for someone else.
So working, it started, first of all, my father and my family. I came to the U.S. for the sole reason of, being free and being able to do anything I want to. And it's the land of the dreams and the big dreams. And you can start and do anything you want. And I really believed in it. And mm-hmm. as a kid, I used to come here. I came from a small town, maybe 10,000 people live in my town where I grew up. And coming into the big city and seeing my dad in the restaurant business, he had six restaurants before the catering company,
mm-hmm.
seeing where he came from and where he went to, always inspired me. And I thought that business will be my path. But I also had the passion for cooking at the same time. And when it married together in the catering company and having the platform, like you said, in my dad's company, to do basically anything I wanted. My dad left after a year that I was in working for him. He left to live in Israel for a year and a half. So he left me with a company that was pretty big and told me, okay, now you're running the company, you're the chef, you're just do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 24 and I could do basically anything I wanted to. I could bust the company or I could work really hard and understand and learn along the way. And that's what I decided to do. And that gave me the tools to actually go ahead and start the first thing. I didn't know anything about it. Even when I started the first Beyond Sushi,
mm-hmm.
I was very young. I was 28. I didn't know much about business. I got inspiration from here and thoughts from here and thoughts from there. I just really worked hard. No one really believed in what, because to say to anybody, oh, I'm going to make a vegetarian sushi or a vegan sushi, they told mm-hmm. me I'm crazy and I wouldn't last for more than 6 months. And I put all my savings on it. So I had $70,000 and I put everything into it. And I loaned another 70. And I was left with like $1,000 in the bank account when we first opened Beyond Sushi. And if Beyond Sushi didn't work for like a month, I would have been, I would have been down $140,000.
Wow.
So it is a Cinderella story for me because everything that I had was put into it. But mm-hmm. I knew going into it that it's innovative enough, it's unique enough. And with my drive, I can make it work no matter what. And to just lay it out, I had one employee, which was the sushi chef and me. I used to come at 3 o'clock in the morning, make all the food, wash the dishes, go upstairs, be the counter person, finish the day, close up and come back at 3 o'clock in the morning to do it all over again because I didn't have enough money to pay a third person to come along and join us. Until, of course, everything, moved along. But that's that. So
I'm fascinated. Seriously, because there's a drive and a willingness to work incredibly hard that shines through. And I think that's incredible. And I'm as someone who goes to Beyond Sushi whenever I can, I'm particularly grateful. But You said when you were talking earlier that it was just, oh, we put the vegetables we had on hand. And yet it's become much more of a sort of a beacon, if you will, for plant-based people to go and find really good gourmet-like food in you know, on 37th Street in Manhattan, or one of the other stops that you have a Beyond Sushi at. How did that transform from, oh, I'm working my patootie off, into here's this beautifully appointed, I love the way you've created the restaurants, everything from the decorations to the menu, everything is a delight for me. So how did you evolve all of that? What accounted for those innovations that made it a real must stop for vegans who are either residents of New York or people who are visiting?
So it started with that 280 square feet on 14th Street, which was a hole in the wall, 12 chairs and a counter. But the idea was always for me, I was the executive chef at a catering company. We were doing events or weddings for $400 a head or $500 a head. And I went from there to doing a $650 roll of sushi, which had an intensive amount of work into it. But I always envisioned me having restaurants at the end. I used that because I didn't have enough money to open a restaurant. 37 mm-hmm. cost me a lot more than what the first one cost me. But over time, building the model that I wanted worked out. I started at 14th Street, then Chelsea Market, then 56th Street and 6th Avenue, where we went into Midtown and started playing with the big boys over there and mm-hmm. got a lot more recognition. But you also had to elevate and bring up your A game, because everything has to move through that fast. Everything has to be precise, go out at a fast pace. You know, you're doing 200 covers at lunch. You cannot stop. You're just like going. And we had to bring our A game for that. But that allowed me, I made the decision to, all along, even now, to take whatever Beyond Sushi gave me. I didn't look at it as mine. I looked at it as the business mm-hmm. and reinvest in that dream and expand it to as big as I can. I had a mission. I wanted to feed as many people as I can. And today, over 2 million people dined at Beyond Sushi, which is a great achievement for me. And, you know, it makes me humbled by the fact that all those meals are 100% vegan meals that people came to eat and enjoyed and coming back for it. And it became a mission for me. It became something more than just the business. So I try to expand it as much as possible. And that's what we did. And then the fourth location was 37. 37 was that big leap from going from a 700 square feet location to the biggest vegan restaurant in New York City, a 3,000 square feet space, 120 seats, and then elevating it along the way. Because when we started at 37, it was only the core menu of Beyond Sushi, which was the sushi rolls, the wraps, the salads, but it needed a lot more. We had the bar, we had the big space. So we expanded the menu and grew. And today we do all of that all over the locations. And it became a restaurant. It became, you know, with hot dishes and so on and so on.
And delicious ones as well.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, really, I tell
in
everyone
plan,
I know.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
More in plan. Yes.
And
I'll tell you all
about it. I would love to know. I would love to also know what. So I love that it's obviously I'm vegan and I'm always thrilled with more vegan restaurants and more vegan options out there for people. What brought around the innovation? Because it is an innovation, especially vegans are the fastest growing group as far as, you know, the way people are eating. What brought that up for you as something that you would focus on? How did you go from, as you said, you weren't vegan, you didn't think about veganism when you were younger. How did you innovate into that? What made that the leap that you were going to take?
I wasn't kosher, in glad kosher food before. So it was already in a strict environment before. And then when it's not a secret anymore because I've said it a few times before, but when we first opened, the place was not vegan. Mm-hmm. It was vegetarian. So I had egg products. And 3 weeks into it, I changed it to fully vegan, which was one of the best business decisions I made and personal decision because it influenced my life, my wife, my kids, which are 100% vegan from birth. But to begin with, I knew that one, I want to create a product. I want to come into the market with something that no one has done before. That no one, I didn't want to make another donut. I didn't want to make another sandwich. I wanted to make something that no one has done before. It's very risky, but the upside, if you do it right, and I knew that execution level and standards is like one of my guidelines of anything that I do. I was a drill sergeant in the army. Everything's got to be like, you know, immaculate when it comes to everything in life. But when it came to food, I was very strict about it. I wanted to do something that would do something that nobody done before. And that's where the innovation came into the sushi. I use it in all my foods. I use it in all my plates. It's usually something I remember. I hate just taking something and say, okay, let me serve a burger. That doesn't make any sense. I have a burger on my menu right now. I smoke it for 6 hours. It goes with a nice feta cheese, arugula on top, a cipollone onion marmalade on top. So even if you do something else, and we're not talking about the sushi for a second, it's got to be something that unique for you. For me, Beyond Sushi, once you come to Beyond Sushi, I don't want you to be able to get what you got in my place anywhere else. Mm-hmm. You're going to remember me. You're going to remember Beyond Sushi. You're going to remember the flavors. You're going to remember the experience, hopefully for the good. And not for anything else. And that was my motto, because then people come back and people enjoy that and come back to you because they can't get it anywhere else. If I could get a piece of seitan anywhere, I'll get a piece of seitan anywhere. But if it's special and you put your touch on it and your creativity and your uniqueness on it, people come back for it. And thank God that's what is carrying us now and what has carried me all along. I got a very high return rate of customers, vegan and not vegan alike. So, which is great.
It is great. And, you know, you mentioned the seitan, and I'm like, now I want your seitan skewers, which is my other favorite dish. So this idea of combining flavors, because that's one of the things I've noticed on your menu. And I promise we'll talk about other things besides the delicious food at some point. But there, one of the things that I've noticed about the menu is that you combine flavors you would not normally think would be combinable, would be something that would work. And yet you do. So what's that process for you? Do you envision it first and go, oh, I'm going to combine this vegan feta with seitan, with arugula, with sun-dried tomatoes? Or do you go, I know what would taste good, let me try it? How does that process work for you? How do you make those creations?
For me, most of my dishes, maybe people will see it as maybe disrespectful or I don't know what, but most of my dishes, I don't even test them before I put them on the menu. I don't test them. I and it's not arrogant or anything like that, but the way I do it is I remember flavors very well. I don't know if you can say that even, but I remember and I can tell from my memory what would create a balance in the flavors. So what does that mean? For me, every dish has to have a balance between the flavors that is palatable, that you can taste all the flavors, but they don't hurt you. They might poke that. I have a red line that I always imagine. I want to poke that red line and tease it a little bit, but not break it. So it's got to be balanced and it's got to be impactful and it's got to be memorable. But those flavors are got to come together and create a certain balance. So, for instance, if you do the spicy mango, there is a sweetness from the mango, but it cannot be sweet because then it's not as appealing. So we use a semi-ripe mango and not a fully ripe mango. And then you want to balance it out with a little bit of spiciness. And we get that from the toasted cayenne. And there's got to be some sort of fat. And fat is not a curse word. I know a lot of people are scared of it. But fat is a good cushion for any acidity or any saltiness. And it's got to be there to create flavor. So we use the fat in the sauce to mellow out everything and just smooth the flavors. And it goes along with all the dishes. Sushi was very appealing for me. It was because it was a perfect package. I told you I was a drill sergeant. So for me, that bite was the same bite. So you have that perfect package. I can get the same amount of sauce, the same amount of mango, the same amount of cucumber, avocado, rice in there. So it's a perfect package. It's more of a vessel, not sushi per se, like Japanese sushi. It was a perfect vessel that you get a nice bite that has all those mixtures of flavors, and you can orchestrate whatever you want into it and get a perfect bite. And that it sounds, and it's repetitive, it sounds boring, but it's something that we crave. We crave that consistency all the time. And that was the perfect vessel for me to create that. And that's why I chose sushi.
I think that's wonderful. And it is, whenever I have either the mushroom or, to me, the sunny side, which is my go-to when I come to Beyond Sushi, that there feels like there has been, it's almost like a painting, you know, like a composition. There are all of these different flavors that you might not even think would go well together. But yeah. When you taste that sweet potato in with the avocado and the sun-dried tomato, all of a sudden, there's all this, it's almost a gestalt of things being, of the entire thing tasting better than any of the ingredients might taste by themselves, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's That's something.
Thank you.
No, it's my pleasure, but I'm wondering about.
Hopefully it's the same every time that you come.
Has been so far. I love it. I get it every, you know, the seitan skewers, the spanakopita when you have it, and the sunny side are my go-tos, and also the cauliflower. Oh, it's hot and spicy, but I love it. So
spicy.
Yes, yeah. It's delicious. So the psychology behind that, the psychology behind the balance of it, what role do you think that kind of balance plays in the life of somebody sitting down to eat a meal at Beyond Sushi? What do you think that does?
I would like to create a memory. That's what I'm trying to do. I would like to create a memory of the flavor, and not a intrusive memory, but like a good smooth memory that you come and you know that you're gonna get that memory again, and that will be there all the time. But you can come for it, and it's not gonna change for you. It's not gonna surprise you. It's still gonna be that great, right? It's gonna surprise you the first time, but you can get surprised every time you come for that memory. And for me, food is memory, and I create those things first for myself. That's how I see it. Okay, I gotta like it. I'm never gonna put something that I don't like on the menu. I'm not 100% like in love with it and can eat it myself. And I'm a big eater, and I have been since I was a little boy. It worked all along, and all those years and all my experience showed me that psychology does work, and it brings back people. And like I said, the more people I can feed, the happier I am. Forget about the business part of things. It's a satisfying feeling, because you're actually fulfilling my goal. That's my goal at the end of the day.
My mother is like that. If you walk into her house, she's got a 6-course meal waiting for you within 5 minutes. So
nice.
Yeah. She's, you know,
is she Moroccan?
No, she's from Moldova. If you know where that is. So
yes, I do.
Yeah. Yes. So that's where I was born too. And,
Я не знаю по-русски.
Да, вы говорите по-русски. Отлично. So if you didn't understand what we were saying how, we both speak Russian. There you go.
A little bit.
You probably speak it better than I do. I've been in the USA a long time. So, yes. I see walking into a Beyond Sushi that there's a definite love of food and a definite love of serving people food, mm-hmm. sort of getting that into it. But you've also, as we've mentioned, innovated. And yeah. I'd love to get your take on what do you think it takes for people to innovate? Like, what is the impetus for someone to do something completely different or really unusual in the way normal things like food would be done? What do you think it takes for someone to do that?
I think that the main thing that I have learned over the years is to listen. I listen from the first day that I opened. I had a good idea and I wasn't afraid to go with it and I wasn't afraid to put it out there. But what I did is I listened, and I listened mostly to my customers, right? So I was addicted to Yelp. Yelp was the biggest thing back then. Mm-hmm. And everything that anybody wrote about my business or said, I would drive people crazy asking them about everything that they tried and everything that they think. And I listened. I transferred to a fully vegan restaurant because I listened to my customers and I listened to what they're asking for. And I could do it because it was only egg products. And I listened to my customers when they said that something wasn't 100%. It wasn't as tasty as they thought it would. Or maybe it was a little bit salty. And maybe I didn't get upset about it, even though I'm a chef. But you got to have no ego and listen and know how to change and evolve in a split second. And not, you know, make decisions and live with them and make the right decisions when they come along. Corona made me change my menu. The opening of 37 made me change my menu, made me change my business, made me change the model. Today I'm opening something new and we'll talk about it in a second, but that made me change my model because I'm listening to my customers. I'm listening to the future. I'm trying to think, okay, what's the next shtick that I need to do to make my business better or continue innovating? And it all comes from creation. I want to always create. I want to always make more or create more. Or, I dream about food every night. So it drives me, you know, and it drives me a little cuckoo. But but it's something that I over the years, I put it out there. I want to hear feedback. And I know that a lot of people put something out there and a lot of times they think it's good. They don't want to hear that it's bad and they shut their ears. And I would recommend to just open your ears and listen to everybody around you. Listening doesn't mean that you do what they tell you. Listening means that you're listening to their advice and making your own decisions. You have to be able to make your own decisions on what you're going to do afterwards. And that keeps creating more. And you're always going to create more because that will inspire you. Okay. I need to change this. I need to inspire this. I need to, you know, and move along.
I love that you said that idea of listen and then still make that informed decision, but you're the one who makes the decision. And yes. yet something that you said kind of sticks with me. You said you can't have an ego about it. So how, if somebody came to you and said, okay, Chef Guy, I would like to do that, how would you recommend someone go about trying to remove their ego from those kinds of interactions so that they're more free and open to advice or reviews or something like that?
I developed, personally as Guy, I don't get offended by anything that anyone says, or it's hard to say I don't care because I listen to people, but I don't get offended. So if somebody says, hey, I hated your cauliflower, okay, that's fine. But if three people said that, then I need to listen, you know? Mm. So my ego's gotta be shut off. Someone can dislike a dish and one day, I don't know what, whatever, didn't work for him. But I need to listen to what what the pattern is. You always want to work around patterns. And if your pattern works, like I created a pattern of balance on my food that would draw people in and keep them coming for it, I got to go with that pattern. But if I create something that is not good and drives people away, I got to look at that pattern, look at myself, and be honest with myself on certain things, whether I like it or not. I did a tasting, for instance, now, like not too long ago, and I have no problem admitting it. It wasn't my best. My head is with the business, Corona, this, that. But I came to the client and I said, hey, client, I apologize. I would like to, after we're done with this, to reschedule. And we did another tasting and everything went well, but I knew to judge myself on my standing. So you gotta be open. You gotta hear yourself, and you gotta be able to say, okay, I'm not the best at certain situation. I can't be the best all the time. I'm gonna strive to do that. I'm gonna listen to everybody that is around me to get better at what I do. And I do that all the time. I get like bad emails about this or about that. You feed so many people, you're bound to have something that goes wrong. If every time somebody sent me an email and said, hey, this waiter treated me like that, and I said, no way, this is my waiter and he's the best and whatever, and I wouldn't see the problem. I wouldn't hear about the problems. So I personally take all those emails, respond to the customers, listen to them, invite them back in, meet them, make their experience better, but making my business better and making my actions better than anything that I do. I think it's a win-win for me.
It sounds like it. And it also sounds like you're pretty self-aware. You have to be in order to be able to go, okay, that didn't go as well as it could have. Let me do something about it. So there's a willingness to act that I'm sensing about what you're about the way you're running things, but there's also that sense of awareness and self-awareness. And do you do anything to help you be more self-aware as far as being radically honest with yourself about what's going on? Do you have a practice about it? Do you meditate? What do you do?
How do I do it? I do a lot of me time where I take my time to listen to learn and think not only about the business, but think about everything that I do and why I'm doing it. Cause that's what moves you. It can't be just the business. This business is hard. Like I can't even tell you, it's hard. You know, it's like the hardest thing in the world. I am not only the chef, I'm also the CFO of the company. I run the operations. I innovate. I am now in construction because I'm building a new restaurant that we'll talk about, but I'm all like full with dirt and everything else. It's a hard business. And if you don't know how to do multiple things at the same time, it's very, very hard to succeed in this business. So I take the time to one, teach myself the things that I need to know about this business to move forward from other people and just by thinking. And I take time to think and calm down and think about what the business, what's the next step for the business, or what's the next step for us as a company to grow and still be competitive in this hard, hard, crazy market right now, and keep creating, you know, and keep coming up with new things and be competitive, because it's not easy. We're all competing now on a smaller amount of people that are out and dining, you know.
Absolutely. And the fact that you are growing in this time is definitely, it says something about your business model. It's amazing.
It says that I'm I don't want to say the word, but it's something that I believe that a business that does not grow is bound to die. That's my, you cannot be static. There is nothing. It's either up or down for me. And as a business owner, you are not growing, then you're done. You have to grow. And also on a personal level, you have to grow to, and if you don't, what's the point? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
What's the point of being, right? You want to grow, you want to do as much as you can. And I think that taking more responsibility or growing creates more meaning to what you do at the end of the day.
Absolutely. And so that brings me to the next question. You've touched on it a little bit about what's beyond sushi. What is it that you're working on that's the new thing, the construction, the expansion? What is this new project?
So in Beyond Sushi, I had 7 locations when Corona hit, and I had to close 2 of them because they were in like markets. And they were smaller, but they were in the markets and they were there for a long time. I closed my Chelsea Market location after 6-7 years of operations over there. And that was that wasn't nice, but it is what it is. And instead of that, I'm going to open a new restaurant, which is not Beyond Sushi. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be named Willow, Willow. Over the years, I've learned a lot from my customers, and tying back to listening to my customers, I've been tied to the sushi for a long time, and I love Beyond Sushi, and I'm going to continue Beyond Sushi. But I wanted to take all my knowledge and all my learning from all those years and put it into a place where I think the future and the demand is right now. And we are going to open a vegan bistro where you'll have more of your relatable food that you're accustomed to hear about. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to put my twist and guy's twist on it and make it something that you've never even imagined that vegan food could be like before. And that's what we're doing. And I went with it, and it's going to be there's sandwiches and entrees that are out of this world, and you get this fried chicken sandwich, and you got a pastrami that I make, and I smoke here in cherry wood, and all these cool things. I'm getting hungry.
I'm starving at this point.
but really, really, really nice things, a nice bar. It's all possible to do for takeout. But I'm banking, and I think that New York is not something that will die down, and New York is not a place that restaurants won't survive in. And I think that it's going to take time, but we'll work hard, and we'll make a new thing, and with the support of everybody, and this city is going to come back to what it was. And I want to be there strong standing. And that's what I'm doing. I haven't stopped working since this whole thing started. Between feeding doctors and nurses and support and feed and all this stuff and running the restaurants. And we have 5 Beyond Sushis operating right now. The new one on the Upper East Side, 5637 Mulberry Street, 14th Street. And am I missing one? No, that's it, 5. And then Willow is going to open on 199 8th Avenue between 20th and 21st. And you're getting the exclusive nobody knows about.
Wow.
yeah. So that's my first one. That's going to be Willow. And it's going to be a standalone from Beyond Sushi. It's not going to have sushi in it. So expect all that creative and innovation to go into all those dishes. And I am going to give a fight to all the other vegan restaurants that are out there.
Wow.
And that has been brewing and boiling for a long time. And, you know, I've done Beyond Sushi for 8 years. I'm going to continue doing it, innovate it. But we're going to do another thing along with it, you know?
Are you cloning yourself? Is that what's going to happen? How are you? How are you going to do all of this? That's incredible.
Yes. I wish that, you know, Corona slapped me really hard. That we had, I had 125 employees. I had to lose close to 100 employees.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really sad, and it slapped us right, you know, very hard. But they're working really hard to survive and stay in this. But like I said, I cannot sit on my hands and expect things to get better. You got to keep doing stuff, and you got to keep innovating. You got to keep creating. And I know the tide will turn around. It's just a matter of time. And it's not about even being hopeful. It's about just, you know, you can't just sit. You right. gotta continue. You do it safely, of course. I'm doing everything safely. But and thank God, zero cases since we reopened, and we've been open with 5 locations, and everything is good. But we gotta continue. We gotta keep doing it. And we gotta do it safely, but we gotta continue and do it. Because if not, then we're not. You know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, what you say about growing and creating is so, it strikes me so hard, because there is a temptation to go, oh no, we're just going to sit down with a good book for a really long time. And that has its place, you know, like you were saying earlier about taking that time to think and to ruminate, but there's definitely, yeah. this is an opportunity for many people to figure out how things can be done differently.
Oh yeah.
And strike out in a new direction. And so I'm excited to, yeah. I will be at Willow as soon as it opens. I'm going to have to check it out.
In the middle of January. That's the goal.
So oh, that's wonderful.
It's not that far away. Yeah. Yeah. I just signed for it, but we're moving along really fast, and I'm there with the construction and everything else. So we're moving fast. And on top of that, since the whole pandemic has happened, we're working on another project, and we are going to make our Jax is the name of the brand of the new venture besides Willow, which is it's a tuna salad product that we're making in house, made from jackfruit, really good stuff that you'll be able to purchase direct to consumer. And in stores and so on, but it's still in the early stages. And one of the things that I told you that I like to hear what people think about it, we send it out. We're going to send it out next month to probably like 150 people just to get feedback, packaging, and so on, blah, 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 blah. And then we can work it out. But that will be part of a line of products that we hope to launch in the future. So if and when a pandemic and when our governors, mayors and whatever decide to shut us down, then we have something to keep us afloat, you know, because the restaurants, the supermarkets have worked really well in this pandemic. We have got hit so badly that I can't even explain. So we're going to come out with this product as well. So there's two things going on at the same time.
Wow. Well, and of course the whole restaurants, the whole Beyond Sushi. Oh, yeah. So that's the
and
third.
That's the new stuff.
Right. So no, but it's what's interesting to me is this idea of doing a model that will cover both. You know, there's the restaurant model where people come in, but there's also this idea of, well, let's make some of the things that we do available at stores. And that way it can be a revenue stream as well as feeding more people vegan food, which I'm always happy to get behind. But that idea.
That tuna salad is a killer.
Did I see you post about it? No, I haven't tried it. The last time I was at Beyond Sushi was like a week and a half ago.
Wakame dust inside, and it gives it like a nice ocean flavor. And it's really subtle, but really nice. I've been eating it So it's a good start. But I wanna get into the direct to consumer, because again, you gotta be pandemic proof.
Right. And
one thing that I learned from this is, as a business, we got to, I can't lose 100 people like that. It's not, you know, it took me, each person that you hire is an investment and it's part of the family, and you can't, it was so hard, the whole thing. You know?
I'm sure. So,
hopefully that doesn't happen in the future and we don't have to do anything like that and we can keep everybody along. But the core team's still here. And when we are allowed, hopefully everybody comes back.
That would be lovely. And yet, let me ask you, within this direct to consumer product line that you're talking about, if, and obviously, hopefully not, we never have another one of these pandemics again once this one is over, will your people, how will you do this? Will your people be trained to switch over? Like, oh, I know you've been working at the restaurants, but instead of the restaurants,
it's big enough to be called like a We have a commissary test kitchen in Long Island City that has 7,000 square feet. And here I do all my production and everything else. And my corporate offices and everything like that. Hopefully, if the product is big enough, then we can switch, not if not everybody, but some of the people back in here into packaging and so on and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. And it all depends on who and how long, if they're seasonal workers, full-time workers. Unfortunately, I had to lose full-time workers, managers, people mm-hmm. that I would never even think about that. But financially, if I did, we would have been shut down by now if I kept everybody on board.
Right.
We wouldn't be in business. And it doesn't make any sense if you go out of business and you can never rehire back. That's 125 jobs that are lost forever, right. You know? So at least now we're going to hopefully float. It doesn't mean anything. We're still losing money every month, unfortunately. It's what it is. But hopefully things will change. And that's what I'm banking on. And everybody is, all the restaurants that you see out there, even though you'll see some of them full and some of them have people and stuff, the overhead expenses in a restaurant, you have like a 10% margin of profit when mm-hmm. you're fully loaded and you're like all the time working, 10, 15, 20 if you're a king, 25 if you're like, I don't know, like the best at the business, right? So when your revenue stream is cut by 75%, you're floating in very dangerous waters, you know?
Yeah.
So I've been able to very aggressively go to my landlords, to my vendors, to everybody around me, and be able to work things out. And I've been able to shift my production, everything that I do, my menus, so I can adjust according to this. Since I'm not like this big corporate company and there's a lot of decisions to be made, I made the decisions on this, 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 and this. And that's what we're doing. And we live and die with it. And hope now we lived with it, which is good. But, you know, I could have made bad decisions, but I make good decisions. And thank God we're still here. A lot of restaurants and people that I know personally, and I'm part of this like owners group, are, you know, they were hurting, and they're hurting, and a lot of them closed, unfortunately. And sad, you know?
It is incredibly sad when you see restaurants struggling, yeah. and so many closing, and yet I'm so happy that you are working as hard as you are. I mean, again, selfishly, because I love coming to Beyond Sushi. There is no money changing hands here, folks. I just really do love the food. But yeah, there's something to me, this idea of I'm going to keep pushing, I'm going to keep trying new things, and I'm going to keep really, you know, pushing the limits, pushing the boundaries of what I can envision. That's the feeling I'm getting from you and what you do. And I appreciate that so much, because again, the temptation to go, well, I'm just going to give up, for some people would be strong, you know?
You can cuddle up in a ball and cry about it. I had 3 days that I was pulling the hair out of my head. Mm. Don't get me wrong. But that happened like early March when I saw the decline.
Right.
But then I realized, and look, it's been almost 10 years and I've been building this, and you see all of it like in front of your eyes, like what the hell is going on? And it's all like crumbling down basically. Mm. And you can't do anything about it. It's forced on you, you know?
Right.
I was never in my life in that situation when somebody can force me to close, or because Beyond Sushi and my staff knows that we don't close unless there is 3 feet of snow and not Christmas Day, we never close. We are open. Mm-hmm. We're always there. You can always count on us. It's open except for our yearly party for my staff. And if there is like 4 feet of snow, we're open. And we'll be there. But you know, when you're forced to do that, And I understand why. I completely understand why. Like,
sure.
Don't get me wrong. But when you're forced to do that, that just, you know, it drives you crazy. But I can't just, what am I going to do? Tell my kids what, you know, or tell my employees what, you know, I still have a core of 30 people here that have been by my side for 8 years. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell them, I can't pay you anymore. You go for, you know, so I got to figure out a way. Got to do it. They're my responsibility too. I don't see just the business. It's like they're like my family, you know? And in the first days, I frankly, not to brag or anything, but all my staff came to the main kitchen and I just like gave out food to everybody because there's nothing to do with it. Here, guys, take it home, take it this, take it that, take it that. Because we didn't know what's going to happen in the beginning. It was scary.
Right.
That's the truth. But that's what it is. But now we don't worry about the past. We're looking forward onwards. And that's what I tell my staff now. It's going to be some days are crappy and we don't have a lot of business. And some days are better. But we got to look forward, keep our hand on the pulse, try not to waste, make sure that we do the best service that we can to the people that support us because they are like the most important thing in the world right now. And that's it. And onwards, you know?
Absolutely. And that, you know, that attitude is so wonderful for me to hear that you're looking forward, that, as I said, you're expanding, you're looking into the future. So what is the future outside of Willow and this and Jack? What is your ultimate vision? What is it that you want to leave us with?
To achieve?
Yeah.
I believe that... personally, I don't want to be McDonald's, right? I don't want to be all over the U.S. or anything like that. I want to have a nice amount of restaurants, and I would expand my reaches to as far as I can. One of the reasons that I didn't go with the Shark Tank deal and Lori Grenier and Matthew Higgins or Matt Higgins is that the vision of the of Beyond Sushi was about to change. The vision of it, as you grow, you have to release and let go of certain things in a business. And I would not, I couldn't release standards and quality even by a percent. For me, it was a no-no, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to grow, but I see a way of doing it and keeping the same standards and the same quality and the same uniqueness and creativity onwards and forward in the future to a certain point. At some point, it's just undoable. Mm-hmm. But I'm not willing to do that. And it's not for me. And I'm not trying to be a billionaire from this. It's my calling. It's my passion. It's what I love to do. I want to get to as many people as I can. That's my passion. Feed as many people as I can. I don't want to be per se and sell food for $900. I don't want to be a fast food, but I want to be at a place where people are comfortable to come casually to my restaurant, enjoy a meal. Any of my restaurants, hopefully many more, and make an impact, not just to stand alone, make an impact, feed 1500 people a day, 2000 people a day, and half of them are not even vegan. Great. That's a great impact. That's something that I can walk around with pride that I do for myself, you know? And then, yeah, it's a business. We're a family. I have employees that they have families probably feeding, I don't know what, 100 families from, or 125 families from this business right before Corona. And that gives me great satisfaction as well. And that's why I came to this country. You know, I enjoy the freedom. I enjoy what I was given, and I respect it, you know, and that's what it is.
I love it. And you know, it's interesting listening to you talk about vegans and non-vegans alike. The last time I was at your place was a week ago, Saturday, And I brought two non-vegans, and my friend Steve said, you know, if all vegan food tasted like this, I'd eat more vegan food. So, so I thought that was great. So it ties in very well with what you were saying.
Let me place them anywhere. You know, I would if I could. It's just not going to taste the same after the 20th.
Yeah, well, you know, and he is a hardcore non-vegan, so it was really, it was great to have him there and have him sample the delicious food. It was great. I was like, yay, victory. So, so I am really grateful that you've taken the time to.
Thank you for having me.
It was my pleasure. Thank you. I want to make sure that we have. The social media so people can find you. I know that you have five shop fronts, and there's also you're on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn. Is there any other place that people could look for, because I'm going to put all of that in the show notes, Beyond Sushi.
So Instagram is our biggest one.
Okay.
Instagram, Beyond Sushi NYC. At Beyond Sushi NYC, or mine, Chef Guy Vagnin, is also a big one, even though I decided for the last 2 months not to go on because I got addicted to it. But I have somebody who's helping me with it for now. But I'll go back on it when we do Willow. And then Willow is going to have a handle, but Beyond Sushi NYC and Chef Guy Vakanin, you can get all the updates, everything over there, all the new dishes, all the specials, all the scoops about the new places, Jack's and so on. And BeyondSushi.com, which would be, the main, the website where everything is listed. You can order from the website. We have an app. You can order to go. We use our app to give 10% to the customers that order from us, 10% off, instead of giving it to Grubhub and Seamless. So please come on our app. We would appreciate that. We'll give it back to you. And that's it.
Okay. Awesome. I'll be sure to put the link to the app on the show notes page also. Well, Guy, I'm so grateful. Again, this is what a wonderful conversation. And I feel like I can get even more people to come to Beyond Sushi, which is one of my goals in life. I have a question that I ask everybody who comes on the show. Sure. That I would like to ask you. It's a silly question, but I find that sometimes it gives really provocative and poignant answers. And the question is this, as our last question before we sign off. And that is, if you had a plane that could skywrite anything for the whole world to see, what would you say?
Take responsibility.
I love it. That is phenomenal. Okay. What a great answer.
That's good.
All right. Well, okay. Guy, thank you so much. I am really grateful again that you took the time to be here. I hope that you've enjoyed the Innovative Mindset podcast. My name is Isolde Trachtenberg. I have been here with Chef Guy Vakhnin of Beyond Sushi and the forthcoming Willow as well. If you have questions about what you heard, if you want to know more about Beyond Sushi, follow Beyond Sushi on all the various social media channels. You're going to be thrilled to pieces with the food. You're going to get inspired by the way flavors and ideas can come together. Thank you again so much. If you have questions for me, I'm delighted to answer them. And until next time, I say to you, remember to listen, learn, laugh, and love a whole lot. Thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here. Today's episode was produced by Isolde Trachtenberg and is copyright 2020. As always, please remember this is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Past performance does not guarantee future results, although we can always hope. Until next time, this is Isolde Trachtenberg, and I send you all of my love.